This is KBOX Heart of the Arts podcast. I'm Greg Kostraba. The Phoenix Chamber Music Society presents the Jerusalem Quartet along with pianist Enon Barnaton Saturday evening, November 9th at 7:30 at Camelback Bible Church in Paradise Valley. Alexander Pavlovsky is a founding member and first violinist of the Jerusalem Quartet, and he's on the phone from Boston. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me. Yes. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you and to have the quartet in Phoenix. It was back in the early 1990s when you founded the ensemble. You're on your 30th anniversary season. Tell us a bit about when and how the quartet began.
Three of the members, and today three of the original members playing in the quartet, we were new immigrants in Israel. We all arrived at the end of 90 and middle of 1991, with a huge wave of immigrants from former Soviet Union. I think when I arrived in June 91, every day there were like 5,000 people arriving to Israel. So we all met in Jerusalem Conservatory, Jerusalem High School of the Academy of Music. Very fresh immigrants without really knowledge of new language, of Hebrew. And, continuing our music studies in Jerusalem with different teachers, most of them also from former Soviet Union, also new immigrants. And we started to play in the school orchestra very soon. After actually 2 years, we were chosen to create a string quartet, part of school program of music education, which of course includes chamber music. That's how it started, and somehow we feel that the magic happened. We got a wonderful teacher, also immigrant from Romania, Avi Abramovich, who really found a very special way to intrigue us with music, with his ideas, and I think already after a couple of months, we all felt that it's going to be very special, our journey. Of course, without thinking too far, yes? Just enjoying the music. And quite soon after, I think we started to get support from the Jerusalem Music Center. This is the organization, amazing organization in Jerusalem, founded by Isaac Stern. We started to play to important musicians who were coming to Jerusalem. Most of them friends, of course, of Isaac and all great American musicians and members of different string quartets, Guarneri quartets, Emerson and LaSalle. Most of their members were visiting Jerusalem quite often. And we had this unique opportunity to play for them and, to meet them alive. And slowly the career started to develop and we were invited to different concert series in Israel and abroad, and already in 97 we won first prize at Schubert competition in Austria, and maybe that was the very first kind of major success, and we started quite soon an international career.
And how did you come up with the name the Jerusalem Quartet? Obviously you were in Jerusalem, but with the fine musical traditions there, I would have thought there might have been a Jerusalem Quartet sometime in the past.
I think there were some ensembles with this name. Some of them, I think, members of Jerusalem Orchestra, but not on international level, if I may say. When we started, actually, we had a different name. We had the Young Jerusalem Quartet because we were teenagers. And after, I think, winning in Austria the competition, we decided that, okay, we are taking off the word young and we continue with Jerusalem Quartet. That was, for us, probably the most natural choice. We all met and lived in Jerusalem, and actually we didn't have any other options.
And if you're going to have a long career, if you're in your 70s and you're the Young Jerusalem Quartet, I can't imagine that that would be terribly helpful marketing-wise.
That's right, yeah.
Let's talk about the program you're bringing to Phoenix, Haydn, Shostakovich, and Brahms. And I mentioned Enon Barnaton earlier. He's going to play the Brahms Piano Quintet with you. How did you decide upon this program?
The repertoire of string quartet is enormous and endless. And we always say that we need more than one life to play at least a big portion of it. So the choices are endless, and we are always somehow felt that for audience and also for us, the most kind of special and interesting to present three different compositions from different centuries, and to bring all the characteristic of to each of the pieces with contrasts And I must say that it has some kind of a special connection, all those three pieces, because we believe that Papa Haydn, how we call him, Papa of String Quartet, his platform created in the set of six quartets, Opus 20 and 33, it became a platform for most of great compositions. And Shostakovich probably represents the very last composer who completely works based on this foundation. Not only him, but most of the great composers knew very well music and the scores of Opus 20 and 33 of Haydn, including Brahms, who had the original manuscript of Opus 20 in his hands. So this is the connection for us. The connection is Haydn.
You talked about the Opus 20 quartets. You're not playing one of those. You're playing one of the Opus 50s. Why did you pick this one to open this particular program?
Haydn wrote a huge number of string quartets, and we try almost every season to renew and to learn something new. I was listening a couple of times to the quartet Opus 50 number 1, and somehow it felt for me very special. Special because of its simplicity, very little number of ideas, which creates a very special story. A lot of humor, very light, shiny, bright, and we really enjoy it.
Now, you talk about shiny bright with Haydn, and then you go to Shostakovich, which in the string quartets, I think shiny bright is not the typical words that one would think about. They're very personal, very subversive in a way, because he had to deal with probably the same things you had to deal with before you emigrated from the Soviet Union, an oppressive dictatorship that kind of tries to force you to do what it is that they want you to do rather than allowing you to have your own expression.
Yeah, for three of us, and today for four of us, Shostakovich became a very special composer in our career, in our lives. And three of us were born in former Soviet Union, so it's also connections through our teachers, through our parents, through the life, because we believe that Shostakovich was kind of a mirror of 20th century in that area of former Soviet Union. And this is indeed a very special quartet, not much played. Somehow, playing it after Haydn gives quite a lot of sudden difference in the approach, but still on the same foundation of classical writing. And this string quartet was written in the end of the 60s, was dedicated to Dmitry Tsiganov, a very fine violinist and the first violinist of the famous Beethoven quartet. Shostakovich used to dedicate his quartets to very close friends, family members. I think quartet number 2 and 5 dedicated to the Beethoven quartet as a group. And Shostakovich started to create a group of quartet dedicated to each of the members of Beethoven quartet. So after the death of the second violinist, Shirinsky, he dedicated number 11, quartet number 11 to him. And when he started to work on quartet number 12, he decided to dedicate it to the first violinist, and later on quartet number 13 and 14 to the viola player and to the cello player of the quartet. Quartet number 12. It has only two movements, as most of the late string quartets of Shostakovich, it deals completely in a different direction because there are a lot of kind of inner politics mirroring the terrible things in the life of Soviet Union as a nation and as a culture, as a people. The late quartets somehow are opening to the direction of, you know, questions of death and inner life and the next circles of the life. And this quartet touches also something very unusual for Shostakovich. It touches this kind of second Viennese school. The opening motif of the quartet, it's 12 tones melody, which we associate always with Schoenberg. And Shostakovich find a way to use this motif at the opening and also in the quartet, in the different voices of the quartet, but always finishing this kind of approach to the tonality. And also this number, number 12 and 12 tones, it has quite a number of numerological ideas as well. And it also has kind of numerological idea. For example, the second violin, he doesn't play the very beginning. It starts kind of with duetto and then a trio, and then only in bar 34, the second violinist enters. And this symbolizes the new second violinist of Beethoven quartet came to the group after 34 years with the Shirinsky who died in 64. It's also kind of symbolized that he was waiting 34 years or 34 bars to enter. And the second movement, which is a huge movement, which includes basically three movements inside of one, it has more symphonic approach with a lot of rhythmical changes of meter and uses a lot of different techniques of sound, one with muted strings. There is a big place where I play pizzicato almost like for 5 minutes, plugging the string with the finger instead of the bow. It has a lot of ideas, but somehow it all comes in one big story, quite a personal story for Shostakovich. So I think it's a huge contrast after this simplicity of Haydn, suddenly to this kind of, in the beginning, feel it's almost like an abstract music, but then, of course, it becomes very personal.
Interestingly enough, on the program you're doing here in Phoenix, after the intermission, you just talked about 34 and the 34th measure of
exactly.
Shostakovich. Then you're going to play the Brahms Opus 34 Quintet for Piano and Strings. I love the connection there as well. You're playing with pianist Enon Barnatan. Tell us about your relationship with him. He's a big star and a terrific pianist.
Actually, there are a lot of things in connection with Enon Barnatan. First of all, he's Israeli born, and first time we met probably in Israel, quite in the beginning of our career as well. And later on, we were fellows of Royal Academy of Music, working a couple of years with students in the field of chamber music, but also playing, for example, pieces with pianists. So they have kind of more experience and knowledge to perform with strings. And it's not really a student, but one of the pianists who joined us actually on Brahms Quartet was Enon. And we really felt a great connection. He's a very good colleague and friend of us. And we try to play quite often with him. He's very busy, very popular, especially in the States. We are also busy, but from time to time we succeed to plan something. And this time we have a wonderful opportunity to perform together in Phoenix. And somehow we always feel that it's not only the pleasure to play with him and making music, but it's always very flexible. He's extremely talented and precise pianist, so it's always everything in place. And, you know, we play with many, many different musicians and many great soloists, but, you know, many times people who perform soloists, who perform a lot with orchestras, they don't have much time to work on parts of piano quintets, for example. But Enon always, like, you know, the quality side and the musical side, the flexibility is always on a super top level. So it's always a big joy. I would say that we don't need really to rehearse a lot because we know each other. We know the playing. He feels us, I think, very well, and we feel his flexibility. So it's a really pure music making together.
Alexander Pavlovsky is the first violinist in the Jerusalem Quartet, which will be in concert Saturday evening, November 9th at 7:30 at Camelback Bible Church, 3900 East Stanford Drive in Paradise Valley. More information and tickets are available at phoenixchambermusicsociety.org. Alexander, thanks for spending some time with us.
It's a pleasure.
For the KBOC Heart of the Arts podcast, I'm Greg Kostraba.